Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Oh, hey, it's your sister's new boyfriend, who you're quietly judging because of his cracked phone screen and bad shoes. Allie Ward, back with another episode of Ologies. If this is your very first episode, just a few things. We swear a whole bunch in this. We swear in a lot of them, most of them. If you wish we didn't, don't freak out. There are bleeped episodes of the podcast available at allieward.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. Moving the dang heck on. Okay, so freaking toads, what are they? And are they the best or are they the worst? Are toads the unsung underdogs? Are they warty friends yet to be made? Or are they bastards? Do they belong in a heap of canceled beasts who don't deserve our admiration? You'll find out. But first, business, in which I thank everyone on patreon.com/ologies for their questions, for their patronhood, for making the show feasible and possible and just a joy to make. Also, thank you to everyone sporting Ologies merch from ologiesmerch.com and everyone who just gets it and knows that making sure that you're subscribed and rating the show helps us get seen by pre-ologites, people who don't know about the show yet. Also, thanks to the kind folks who are leaving reviews, because you know that I read them when I'm in a hotel eating gas station food and they make my day. And so I read you a new one each week as a thank you. And this week, Justin D said, "My grandma passed away recently, and the only thing I could do to keep myself from crying was listening to Ologies. Allie, you helped me laugh when I felt like crying. That's huge. Keep it up, my friend." Justine, I'm so sorry about your grandma. I'm sending you a hug. Everyone, text your grandma. Does your grandma text? If you have a grandma, text her and say, "Hey, thanks for pushing out a baby that pushed out a baby." I don't know. You word it however you want to word it. Okay, boofology. Let's go down a toad hole. Let's get the hell into it. So boofology is a word that I did not make up, although it's seldom cited, to be fair. A 2011 Reptile magazine article titled "Ode to a Toad" uses the term boofology 101, so I'm going with it. There's also herpetology, which is reptiles and amphibians. There's batrachtycology, which is the subfield that is just amphibians, which I may have pronounced wrong, but I tried to pronounce it so many times. But what if I want to do a frog episode down the line or one on newts? So I'm going boofology because it exists. People use it sometimes. Also, its root is bufo, in the Latin for toad, which may come from a word meaning slimy plant, or it may also come from buffare, meaning to puff up, and buffoonery is a related word. It's debatable, like toads for some people. So where are you with toads? You know what? It doesn't matter, because in an hour and change, you'll be padding out to the backyard a little bare feet with your coffee mug every morning, just hoping for a toad encounter. Just mark my words. Okay, so this ologist is wonderful. We tried to meet up so many times in the past year or so, but our travel plans kept hitting snags. And then this past week, we both happened to be thousands of miles away from our respective homes. We were in Minneapolis on the same night. She was on a road trip, toad trip, and I was on this ologies Midwestern interview bonanza. So I used your Patreon money to get her a nice room in the same hotel, and with butterflies, I went down to it, kind of like a nervous Tinder date. She is a gorgeous soul. She's so funny and candid and enthusiastic about toads, and I love her, and I hope we are always friends. So if this is your first episode of Ologies, boy howdy, buckle up. Get ready to hear a scientist passionately describe a love of toads. She's so human, I cherish her. So she was once the program manager for the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, where she also served as a national coordinator for partners in amphibian and reptile conservation. She worked as a biological science technician for the U.S. Geological Survey in the Amphibian Research and Monitoring Initiative, and now works in the nonprofit ecology sector at Conservation Science Partners, but is still in the field a bit out toting and salamandering and frogging and newting. But today she is in a Minnesota hotel about to get super boofological with me. So hop on in to a conversation with amphibian enthusiast and boofologist Priya Nanjappa. See Priya. 806, here we go. Gonna meet Priya. Gonna talk toads. 806. Oh my gosh, here we go. This is like a blind date. Toads! Oh toads. And now you are a lover of toads.
Yes.
What is it about toads specifically that you love? I know that why did I open with a question that's, we could do a whole series on.
Oh, yeah. There's so many things to love.
I know.
I mean, so I was thinking about this because I knew you were going to ask me this, and there's so many different ways I could go with this question. But I think just in general, I tend to be somebody who likes the underdog, you know what I mean? Like the thing that people don't want to love, you know? That kind of plays into my romantic life as well, too. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. They're just so fucking cute, you know? Like, you just, they're fat and they're, like, grumpy-faced. And you just know that they're really not grumpy. Or you want them to really not be grumpy. But they want to act grumpy. They want to act tough. They puff up.
Priya studied wildlife biology with a minor in environmental studies at Iowa State University. And then she went on to get a master's in conservation biology at Ball University. And her work involved developing the first national database of amphibian distributions and maps. Kind of like a census taker. Just going up to tiny toad houses saying, hey, knock, knock, howdy who, pardon. How many of you are living in that log? I'd like to observe you eating bugs and doing the nasty. But what got her into it?
I remember my first toad sighting, which was in my mom's garden in Iowa. And it just would like hop along the tomato plants and eat things. And like eventually we figured out that we could build a little toad hut, like out of a pot, you know, and just put that in there. And it would just, you know, go and hang out. And I was so sad on the days when I didn't see it. Like, I'm sure it was all seasonal, but I don't remember, you know, the specifics of it. And I do remember other people's houses where there'd be one like sitting under the gutter, eating the flies and stuff like that. And I liked other critters too, but there was something about the toads that I just kept coming back to that I just kept like, I don't know. I just love them. They just have that face, you know, it's just that face.
I love that you had a toad friend. Like the toad was your friend.
It kind of was my friend.
Her warty buddy got a toad abode and in return, it ate all the bugs that wanted to eat their lettuces. It was a mutually beneficial relationship. Kind of like when you dog sit and then also while you're there, you eat all their snacks.
And then I think we somehow like figured out or looked it up. You know, there was no internet back in those days. But we figured out that it was going to be a helpful thing. And so, yeah. And so that toad lived there. And I want to think that it's the same toad came back like year after year. But I know we definitely saw a toad in the garden at least a couple of years. But yeah, I don't know.
Maybe the great-grandson of the original toad.
Oh my God, that would be just so delightful if that was true.
How long do they live?
Oh man, there's a variety of age ranges just depending on the species. I think probably 10 years, you know, 5 to 10 years is on average in the wild, I think.
Wow.
But there are some in captivity, I think, that, you know, can live really long.
They look ancient.
They
look like they're in their 80s. All of them look like Wilford Brimley with like hairless and green.
They totally do.
I'm Wilford Brimley and I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes.
P.S. Wilford Brimley was a TV star who was also known for his Quaker Oats commercials and for changing the American pronunciation of diabetes to diabetes.
Diabetes.
Also, I just looked up some facts about Wilford Brimley, and the one of the most stunning is he's very much alive. He's only 84 years old, which means that he was just 60 when he was playing like deep, deep grandpa genre roles. I respect him for just leaning into that. So toads, tiny grumpy grandpas. They are grandpas. Okay, but what makes a toad a toad? Straight away, what is the difference between a frog and a toad?
Okay, so generally speaking, most frogs have like smooth skin. They tend to need a closer association with water or aquatic environments. And then the toads that we traditionally know, you know, with the big kind of stout fat bodies and the warts and everything, they typically can be away from water longer and they don't need as much of that sort of direct moisture the way that frogs do. And then they also secrete these toxins from their skin.
Really?
And so, yeah. And so like, that's the biggest thing. There are some frogs that do that as well, but pretty much all toads have some sort of gland, you know, that they secrete some sort of bufotoxin. And so...
Bufotoxin,
that's
God,
what it's called.
Like such a good punk band.
Right? Yeah.
That would Bufotoxin. Be. Is their skin thicker? And what exactly are the warts? Are they air quotes warts?
That's a good question. These warts on toads are associated with these. They have mucus glands and granular glands, but the granular glands are the ones that are responsible for the toxic secretions. Oh, and it's for an anti-predator defense so that when anything, you know, grabs it, it just tastes bad and they spit it out, you mm-hmm. know, or sometimes they'll get sick. Some of the toads produce some pretty strong toxins. So all toads are frogs.
Okay.
But not all frogs are toads.
Oh, I love those. So, it's the old cactus succulent.
Yes.
Like all cactus are succulents, not all succulents or cacti.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And like in the amphibian world, there's like newts, you know, like all newts are salamanders, but not all salamanders are newts. And newts are to salamanders like toads are to frogs, kind of.
I didn't know that. And, okay.
Early lineages of toads they look more frog-like.
Okay.
And so like over time, those different features, the more like stout bodies and the bigger warts and glands and things like that appear kind of later in evolutionary history. They came after frogs, so somewhere in that like Cretaceous Cenozoic mm-hmm. period.
Ooh.
They've been around.
They're OGs. They're Wilford Brimleys. So side note, wonderfully British vertebrate paleontologist Dara Naish has written extensively on toad evolution and its many gnarled branches. And also, he has a pet cane toad named Milo, which looks like it can kick my ass. Anyway, more on cane toads in a minute. But cane toads, like frogs, have teeth, sort of. They have like little peg-like nubbins. But other toads do not have teeth. So to recap, toads are frogs, and toads have no teeth. Yes, for warts. They've got a poison gland behind their eye called a parotid gland, thought to have been like an adrenal gland, just gone bonkers. Oh, and another souped-up special feature not available on the standard frog model.
And then the other really weird thing is that toads have this thing called the bitters organ.
Okay.
Which sits like kind of between the kidneys and the gonads. And I think both males and females have them, but they're thought to be like a primitive ovary.
What?
Or like it's kind of like a spare set of follicles, but the males have it too. And so like in experiments in the lab, they've removed the testes, mm-hmm. like just castrated them. And all of a sudden this bitters organ like is like, oh, okay, time for me to come into play. And then like it starts forming eggs and like,
no.
Yeah. Initially when I had learned about it, I was thinking that maybe it would go, you know, it would like, you know, create sperm or something in the males and eggs in the females, but no, it just like always produces eggs. It has like follicles. And then the same thing with the female, like if one of the ovaries doesn't work, then it will start to come into play. But the other interesting thing with the males is that like in some situations where there's estrogen mimic chemicals or like other chemical things that will like chemically castrate, mm-hmm. All of a sudden that organ starts taking off too.
What?
And like it's named after the dude who discovered it, but it always relates to eggs and oocytes. Mm. I think that means that, you know, the ability to possess ovaries is probably like the original evolutionary mm-hmm. condition, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I love it. Publish it. I just peer reviewed it.
Perfect.
It's up.
Done.
No paywalls.
Okay.
Awesome. And then I love it. What about their big, crazy, weird eardrum?
Oh, so... Well, so they do have that tympanum, mm-hmm. and that's how they can hear each other sing their lovely songs. Mm-hmm. But those ones in those areas where they don't call, mm-hmm. they have lost their eardrums. So they just, you know, do the waving thing or whatever. And they don't even need them anymore, so they don't have them. But it's just that tympanic membrane. It's kind of like in most frogs, like have them. It's just like a little kind of like a drum head, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. And they sense vibrations from the calls of other. But they can sense, you know, they can tell the difference between their own species, obviously, and others. And yeah.
What about their eyes? Is their eyesight good? Eyesight bad?
What do you think?
I've never seen them in glasses.
I don't think they're supposed to have very good... I have never seen them in glasses either. They would look so good in glasses, though, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They would look so good. Like, just some little hipster, like, some, you know, nice, like, sort of thick frame glasses. Or those ones without the rims. yeah, so I think they... I don't think they're thought to have, like, great eyesight. But I don't think it's bad. I think they can discern color, though, because, like, some of the... Like, some toads are... sexually dimorphic more than just the size, like there is actually color differences. Mm-hmm. So kind of like in birds and stuff like that. So they must be able to have, they must have some color vision, but I don't know. Yeah.
Are the males bigger than the females?
The females are bigger than the males.
Oh, by usually. A lot?
Yeah, by a lot. Oh. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, usually by quite a bit. Like if you see them mating, like it's just like this little tiny male on top of this big old female. And it's just, it always looks a little funny.
Oh, and both have tympanums to hear sound, such as, for example, the romantic, screamy love ballads mantoads make by inflating an air sac, like a big extra chin, kind of like having a subwoofer on your face.
Hey.
So another thing that's really cool about toads is they have all like a lot more bony material in their skull, like their skulls are like highly ossified, mm-hmm. and those crests and the shape of those crests and stuff are what you can use to distinguish species when they are like in the same area and you have a lot of similar looking little brown toads with mm-hmm. warts. Other than the warts per spot, certain species, it's warts per spot. So like in the like dark brown spot, there'll be mm-hmm. like two or three warts if it's an American toad, and then if it's a Fowler's toad or something or Woodhouse's toad, they'll have more in each like dark spot. And then there's like the shape of the parotid glands, which are the things that produce like behind their eyes that produce that more of the toxic secretion. And then those little crests and bosses and ridges and everything, like they that's how they differentiate themselves. But yeah, so they have these really cool skulls. Frogs don't have that. Yeah. You think of them as like the cavemen. They're actually the ones that came later.
I'm going to get a full toad back tattoo. What's going to happen? There are toads on all continents?
Everywhere except Australia, which right now is only being overrun by the invasive cane toad. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Australia got a little bit ripped off on the toad card, and then they got payback.
And then they And they didn't used to be on Madagascar either, but now there's a different toad that is found on Madagascar that's also super invasive and wreaking havoc. So yeah, unfortunately, the toads that are finding their way to places where they never were are like the ones you just don't want to be there.
Okay, let's loop around back real quick and talk about cane toads, shall we? Okay, great. So these are these huge ass toads. They're also called marine toads, even though they're terrestrial. Linnaeus made like an oopsie daisy in the 1700s about their habitat. But the largest recorded one measured over 9 inches long. They look like holding a big leathery pretzel roll, but with legs. And they are college stoner level hungry. They eat everything from like live bats, sometimes plants, to bugs, to dead animals, to just straight up garbage. Sometimes just literal, actual garbage. Most scientists report they seem to give few, if any, fucks, enabling them to get both large and in charge. They also have successful and very prolific mating strategies. So in summation, cane toads, they're like the Romans. They like to eat, they like to make love, and they're native to the Americas and even South Texas, but they now live all over the damn place because in the 1930s, someone was like, hey, I got an idea, see?
Yeah, so I think it was like where they were growing sugarcane, they had brought them there to control like the bugs, you know, that were eating the sugarcane.
Then
of course, you know, anytime you bring a thing to control the thing that you don't want, then that thing goes, you know, crazy. Yeah, so there are these big, beefy marine toads, and so they can tolerate like saltwater environments, but they also apparently can live all over the place, you know, on land. So they're like in vast swaths of Australia and all over Hawaii. They're in Florida now.
How do you control a cane toad population?
It's proving to be really difficult. They have had some luck with, I want to say, caffeine, like where they're like dropping caffeine or spraying caffeine. That has been effective in some places in knocking down the population. And I think just generally they try to go and, like, you know, collect them up and then just, you know, euthanize them. So
throw them in a volcano or something.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
So yes, some parts of the world have a real cane toad problem. Also, the beetles that they were supposed to eat, they like to climb to the top of the sugar cane and the toads are like, it's too high, no reachy. I'll just eat this bird instead. So now Australia has a bunch of poisonous toads and sometimes people's dogs eat them and trip absolute balls or just die. Okay, but caffeine? Really? As an agent for toad assassinations? So, okay, what happens is concentrated caffeine, when sprayed around by a professional eco barista, if you will, causes amphibians to have heart attacks and they croak. Dad word. Really toed the line with that one, kiddos. Please don't stop listening. Okay, so concentrated caffeine, it gives them pretty much like lethal panic attacks, but one can spread coffee grounds in the garden and they might just get real buzzy and uncomfortable enough to just avoid the area. Kind of like how I didn't go into a Starbucks for a while after a venti-induced anxiety meltdown. But this could also be just wicked mean to slugs and such, because caffeine is a plant's natural defense against getting munched on by a lot of critters. Also, this sent me down a weird hole learning that a plant can poison itself with its own caffeine. So the leaves drop, the caffeine leaches into the soil, and the plant is like, oh, nuts. I brought this on myself. Now, okay, if killing animals makes you squeamish, you could always just exploit them for profit and become a drug dealer. So Country Farm Lifestyle website offered up the advice of painting chloroform on the belly of a cane toad until they start oozing milky poison, and then, just like a pimple full of money, you can gently express their parotid gland right behind their eyes. But watch your eyes. Wear some cool steampunk goggles or something so you don't get splat into on the eyeball and then wind up really crying over spilt milky white poison. Also, quick aside within this aside, a sideception, if you will. Does Priya have a favorite toad? Yes, she has a soft spot. She has a soft, warty spot for American toads because they were the first she saw in the Midwest. But she did clarify that they no longer belong to the Bufo genus. North American toads are now classified Anaxyrus, which sounds like a very cool rebrand, if you ask me. Bufo versus Anaxyrus reminds me of the time my goth friend Ben wanted us to call him Sebastian with an E on the end. But unlike Anaxyrus, it didn't stick. I'm sorry, Sebastian. Sebastian?
They're a little bit fatter and their eyes are just a little bit more like bulbous. So I really kind of fell in love with them. But there's some really pretty toads too. Like in the southwestern U.S., there are these green toads and then these red spotted toads. And they're just, yeah, they can be really pretty, especially in South America. Like I haven't seen like all the bufonid species, you know, that are down there. I mean, it would take, you know, millions of years. There's so many species of toads all over the world, but they are really diverse and interesting.
P.S. How many species of toad are out there hopping around and frowning? It's over 600. And some look like dead leaves with a face, and some are beautiful rainbow colors. Some we haven't even discovered yet. Right now, just kicking it in a hollow, I think. Is that where toads live? Do they live in toad hollows? Do they live in little, like, carved out spots and trees and stuff?
Yeah, well, pretty much in burrows of different sorts. Some of them can do a little bit of digging, but a lot of times they'll live in other, you know, mammal burrows and things like that.
Okay, so for more on being roommates with a gopher tortoise, see the testudinology episode with Amanda Hips. Also, I just tried to Google toads plus friends plus interspecies, and I'll be honest, not much popped up. I guess it's lonely being horny and toxic. Oh, and if you've already heard the thermophysiology episode with Dr. Shane Campbell-Staton, you might know a little bit about wood frog antifreeze. But how do toads get hygge, aka higgy with it, that Scandinavian word for cozy in the winter? Do they knit chunky turtlenecks and sip hot table wine out of a crock pot? Do they all peace out to condos in Florida when it gets chilly? What happens?
They don't freeze, like some frog species can totally freeze in the winter. Mm-hmm. Like they produce this antifreeze, but toads don't do that. They just go underground, like below the frost line, where it's just warm enough that they can survive through the winter, and you know, they hibernate, but they... yeah, but they don't freeze, so they just live underground.
And I need you to settle something for me that has been plaguing me for a long time.
Okay.
And you love toads. You've studied toads.
I do, yes.
True or false? Toads have arms.
Yes, they do.
Okay, thank you. I don't feel like toads have four legs. I feel like they have two legs and two arms.
They do.
Toads have arms.
They do have arms. I mean, they're like little Popeye arms, right? Like, couldn't you just see a little tattoo on those little forearms? They're so fat. And the males have fatter forearms on purpose, like to
clutch on.
Clutch, yeah, mm-hmm. on the ladies. Mm-hmm. And they have arms.
Okay, thank you. And tell me.
You will see it like in different places and references about their arms and like how they're.
Really? So is that official?
I'm going to say it is.
Because I just cannot accept that those are legs. That's not how legs work.
They're no, arms. Yeah. Like they're not even really four legs. They really look like, they're like they're like little wrestler arms. Yeah, totally.
And they have little hands. Like
they
little,
do.
Like
they do. They really hands. Do have. Yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Okay, so quick aside, I looked this up and they are called arms. They are called arms. I went into this thinking this was a battle I had to fight. I was willing to die and leave my corpse on this hill that toads have arms. And instead, no one wanted to fight me. It's just a known thing. They have a humerus, they have a fused radius and ulna bones and four fingers. Just like us, the only thing they can't do is give me a knowing, appreciative thumbs up, because technically their thumbs aren't opposable. Anyway, moving on. So Priya has done a lot of work with a lot of amphibians, namely salamanders, but her field work helping collect toad data made her love them even more.
Just a little ways into the season, the toads would come in and they would just be everywhere and they were just so fun to watch. And they just, you know, they have these big like orgies. And you know, just the eggs were everywhere, and then the tadpoles would be everywhere. And there's probably at least a couple of sites where there probably was close to 100 toads and, you know, hopping across roads. But whenever we would see them, we would, you know, we'd measure them and determine the sex and just kind of look for overall sort of health of the animals. And we were doing that in general for the other critters, too, because we were finding some, in some cases, like some different malformations with some of the frog species. But we didn't really find that with the toads, which is interesting. We definitely saw a lot of them, you know, just out and about and just hopping along. You can really find them when they're breeding, you know, when they come to the ponds to breed. You'll find them like just hopping around in the woods, but just very randomly. Like once they come in and they do that and then they get out, they just are... You don't really know like where they are or what they're doing. And like, I just imagine them like underground in their burrows, just having like little, you know, socials and, you know, like little underground bars and just chilling out, you know, like all winter. And
are they solitary or do they burrow with friends, do you think? I wonder if they have girlfriends.
I think there are some records of them like in sharing burrows with other toads. And we actually found a multiple species like hibernaculum, but I do think that there are toads that will, you know, share the same types of burrows. And then there are some places like where the soil is really sandy and they can just kind of shimmy down under the sand, like especially in the more hotter environments, because in a lot of places in the southern U.S. both east and west, they're active pretty much year round. They don't really have much of a hibernation, but you know, in the northern areas they do.
Do they sleep?
They do sleep. I've never seen a sleeping toad. Yeah, I haven't seen a sleeping toad.
Are they nocturnal or are they out in the day?
When they first come out, it's usually during the day, and they will like just be singing their little hearts out like all during the day. And then they kind of shift to just calling at night, and so you don't really hear them during the day, but you'll see them out there sometimes. And we definitely, like when we'd go out in the field to our sites during the daytime, we would see the toads just everywhere, and they weren't always calling by that point. But then if you came to the same pond that night, you know, they would just be singing like crazy. Yeah. And so it was cool.
Oh, listen to these beautiful sounds. That is nature's way of singing. I'm pretty horny. I'm over here. I'm ready to be a dad to thousands of kids I'll never meet. Once again, a very horny.
Well, now, that's a fine horny toad. And I want him bad.
P.S. Where does the word horny come from? I thought maybe I'd wander down a lush forest of boofological etymology. It turns out horny toads aren't even toads. They're just another name for the horned lizard. They just call these spiky-necked southwestern lizards toads because they have kind of a stout body. So, good morning, world. We've been lied to for generations. Let's get back to our real friends, the toads, and their robust sexuality.
Talk to me about toad romance.
Yes.
You mentioned the word orgy. Let's revisit that.
Yes, sure. Let's do that.
What is happening when toads all get together to make more toads?
When toads start wanting to get their freak on, they are like so indiscriminate sometimes. Like they will... I've seen a toad amplexing a rock. One time I was like taking temperature of the water and there were some toads nearby and this little toad hopped up and like grabbed onto my fingers. They are so funny. And you know, they get all territorial and they, you know, if they think, like in that case, obviously they thought I was like, you know, I gotta get on that thing. That thing looks like I should mate that. But so sometimes, you know, they're just like, you know, defending their territory and they do that thing that, like I said, they puff up. And as I picked it up, like they do this little release call, like the American toads make this little like little thing like that.
Like their version of a car alarm.
Let's hear that, shall we? Priya says that release call essentially translates to, oops, nope, I'm a boy toad. Please don't mount me, bro. Thanks, buddy.
Like just little trill, like as I was holding it. And, yeah, I fell in love a little bit more that day.
Don't blame you.
But it, they are just like on everything. And so, and because the males are also really competitive to get the females, there's usually like three or four on the females. And we definitely would find sometimes like half drowned females. And this happens with frogs, other frog species too. But like where there's so many males that they basically are like weighing her down and then her head is like staying underwater. You know, they breathe air. So they... Yeah. Like, so she's getting drowned by all these aggressive fuckers. So.
I know, these eager dudes. I like, know. Come on, take a number.
She's just like, look, I got one.
And she's going to squirt out some eggs, and then they're just going to go by and season them, sort of.
Well, yeah, and they do have external fertilization. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, part of the strategy is they're just sort of hanging out, and then there'll be, like, ones that'll just be, like, sitting there, like, waiting, you know, for the one to hop off so that the next one can hop on. And
okay, tell me if I'm hallucinating. Is there a type of toad where the baby toads are birthed from holes in the back, or was that an American Horror Story?
No, those are a different family. So they're not bufonids. They're not true toads. They are called like the Suriname toad. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's like the craziest like reproductive strategy. They'll lay the eggs and they'll be fertilized and then they like scoop them up with their legs onto their back. And then their back, like the chemistry of the skin changes and it basically like absorbs the eggs into their back. And then the skin grows over the back, over the top of it. It's like some serious sci-fi shit. And then when they get ready to hatch, they hatch out as like little live, it's not even tadpoles, it's like little live baby toads, and they just start cracking out of the mom's back. Oh, it's so crazy.
That is such a horror show. Yeah. I mean, it works for them and good for them.
Right, yeah. But I mean, and it's really cool though, actually. Like we use that a lot in like outreach with kids, mm-hmm. as an example of just amphibian, you know, like cool, you know, adaptations that they have, and they're always like, ew, let's see it again, you know. So that one's a really freaky one. But yeah, those are not true toads though. Those are in the Pipidae family, not Bufonidae.
Okay, so I looked this up, and as a person who has relaxed to dozens and dozens of videos of blackhead extractions and botfly maggots under human skin, shout out to lepidopterologist Phil Torres for fostering one in his back recently, and my personal favorite, mango worm extraction, I found this surname toad thing revolting. First off, it just looks like a frog who's been flattened by a mallet but came back as a muddy, angry ghost. The surname toad, scientifically known as Pipa Pipa, Pipa means kite because it's flat and pointy. It looks like an angular roast chicken breast with webbed feet, and like a mesh tank top of skin is its back. It's riddled with holes out of which flailing, squirming mini toads emerge in a fury like a jailbreak. It's a nightmare you cannot imagine. And if you have that fear of holes, whatever that's called, get a restraining order against the species. I have met my match. This is disgusting. Also, not even really a toad. It's an aquatic frog. Get out of here. Let's get back to toads. God, this was gross. I mean, beautiful, but very upsetting. Let's talk toad licking.
Oh, yeah.
Who's doing it and why?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are doing it, and they probably shouldn't be doing it. But yeah, so there's only one toad in the U.S. that produces that particular type of... It's a bufotoxin. You can't just, like, lick the toad. You will not be very comfortable if you just lick the toad.
Again, do not lick the toad.
Why? Consider this story a PSA against toad basing.
We were driving down this little golf course where another colleague of mine had these rattlesnakes telemetered, you know, tagged so we could track them. And I just saw this thing hopping along and I was like, what? Is that a bunny? And he was like, those are the Sonoran Desert toads. And I was like, what? Those are those toads, the ones that you can lick? And he was like, oh yeah, those are those ones. And so then we like had to stop and we went and checked him out. He's like, okay, now you got to really wash your hands. Like, here's some Purell and whatever. And like later on, I just like, I think I just kind of like rubbed my nose or did something like that. And it was like really burning, like from that little bit that was probably still on my hands. And thankfully I didn't touch my eyes, but like that can be a real problem. I think the indigenous people had learned how to basically harvest it. And then I think you have to dry it and process it a little bit before you can actually use it in those ways for, you know, to have the true hallucinogenic experience. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So you have to kind of milk them by stressing them out probably a little bit.
Pretty much, yeah. But I think they do have like a fair bit just on them. They're pretty gnarly. But yeah, I don't think it takes much to stress them out. You could see like certain toads, you can actually see the secretion. It's like this milky stuff coming out. Mm-hmm.
You just have to shit talk their moms. They're like, whoa. Exactly. Comes flowing out.
Exactly. But yeah, so... there are these stories though that people like will do it in such a way that they can still get a high and just keep the toad so that they can like kind of harvest it. And I'm sure, you know, people have studied like all of these different ways of how you can make it happen, but I have not experienced the toad high.
I wonder if people on YouTube are like, listen,
oh,
here's what you do. I'll be looking.
I'm sure you will. And I'm looking forward to learning more about that.
Oh, you know I will. Okay, so the Colorado River toad or the Sonoran Desert toad, same thing. They're native to what's now northern Mexico and the southwestern United States. So these produce a poison that has a form of the psychedelic substance DMT, which is produced in humans naturally, but like during a dream state and maybe when you die.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Do not go milking and licking it. That's not going to work. For thousands of years, indigenous cultures have perfected the harvesting and the drying and the smoking of this angry toad juice. And what is said to result is everything from like a powerful love and oneness with nature to feeling like dying and a rebirth to seeing geometric aliens chirping welcomes into another dimension. Did I mention don't lick a toad? Don't try this on your own. This is not a Pinterest DIY hack to diddle with on the weekend. Respect the culture, respect the history, respect the toad.
What about toads in popular culture? How do you feel about the children's book series Frog and Toad?
Toad, Toad, the sun is shining. The snow is melting. Wake up.
Oh, I am not here.
Oh my God. One of my favorite books, like for real, like even before I really became like a Toad lover, like it was just one of my favorite books. I just loved the little relationship that they had and how Toad was always so grumpy. But yeah, so I had Frog and Toad are friends. And then that became the book that I gave all my friends when they started having kids and stuff. There's a lot of vilifying of Toads in pop culture, I feel like, you know, just like the whole thing about getting warts from Toads, which of course you can't.
You can't. They're not viral. It's just part of their back.
Yeah. They're just trying to protect themselves. They're just trying to make sure that nobody eats them. That's all.
And also stop licking them if you don't want to get any diseases.
There's a hell of a lot worse things you can get from licking a toad, like salmonella, among other things.
Among the other things is a strain of chlamydia and a bunch of bacterial infections I can't pronounce. So don't lick toads. No one wants to get toad chlamydia. You want to tell people you got toad chlamydia? Also, what is the state of the toad these days? How are toads? Do they need us? Do they hate us?
Now, I know that cane toads are having a heyday right now. It is the era of the cane toad, but how in general are toads faring these days?
It depends. So some of the species of toads have been hit pretty hard by the chytrid fungus, the amphibian chytrid fungus, Batrachochytrium dendrobatidis.
That's quite a mouthful.
Or BD for short. In Central America especially, there's a couple of the Atelopus genus species that are thought to be extinct. There's a golden toad that's in the Encilus genus from Costa Rica that was like their iconic toad species, and they think that that's extinct.
Oh no.
I think they've found like maybe a couple of individuals here and there of all of these different species, but they've gone extinct, and it's because of this fungus, this fungal pathogen. So have you heard of like white nose in bats? Mm-hmm. So this actually came before, and then like the people in the white nose world like learned from that, but it took the BD world, the amphibian world, like a really long time to figure out that it was this fungal pathogen. It was described as a new species once they figured out that that's what it was. But it's been responsible for, it's questionable, but there's a recent paper that says that there's like 500 species that have declined throughout the world on that because of BD, but there's some question about that a little bit. So at least most people say like around like 200 or so species that have declined or gone extinct specifically because of the impacts of BD. And in the US in particular, some of our toad species have been the ones that have been most impacted. So the boreal toads, like I was saying, the western toads, and there's a Wyoming toad that's related as well. And it just has a very small distribution in Wyoming. And it's also been impacted. And so there's all these like recovery programs going on for those two toad species. They were raising them in captivity and, you know, having good success with that. But then when they put them back out in the habitat, they would die because this fungal pathogen remains in the habitat. So once it's out there, it's really hard to, you know, to figure out like how you can get them back out there. So they're trying a bunch of different things to maybe see how they can help them to persist with it. Yeah, so disease issues are something that has impacted our toads. There's multiple strains that are being documented now. There was an out of Asia and an out of Africa hypothesis that were kind of competing for a while, and I believe they still have determined that it came out of Asia, but because of trade is why this thing is moving around. And in fact, with BD, they would use those African clawed frogs. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're fully aquatic with claws. Like you'll see them like in Asian markets. They're established in Los Angeles or somewhere down around there.
Oh my God.
Like in the wild. Yeah, there's a population down there. And in a few other places in the US. But anyway, they were used as pregnancy tests.
Wait, what?
So these are not toads, but
yeah,
these frogs were used as pregnancy tests. And what they would do is they would have them in a doctor's office, you know, and then a woman who thought she was pregnant, they would take her urine sample and inject it into the frog. Mm-hmm. And if it laid eggs, then she was pregnant. And so, no, of course, after they were done with these frogs, they would just like chuck them outside.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And so many of these had those obviously came from Africa, but they were carrying this fungal pathogen, and apparently can, like, they're resistant, or they, you know, they can persist with it. And mm-hmm. so they were then spreading it to all the native species.
So this was an awful practice, but at the time it seemed favorable to the older way, which was injecting a live rabbit with Prego pee, waiting a couple days, killing it, and then examining its ovaries. Or you could pee on wheat and just see how long it takes to germinate. So if you're ever in a position to pee on a drugstore stick, I guess just be glad you're not waiting for seeds to sprout, or like actively murdering a bunny.
Other than fungus and old-timey pregnant ladies and I guess like really desperate fish fans, mm-hmm. what are the predators of toads?
Oh, there are various birds and snakes that will eat toads. Hognose snakes are kind of toad specialists. The toxin doesn't seem to bother them, mm-hmm. so they're able to manage with them. But crows, which are super smart, as you know, will like eviscerate toads and then just eat their gooey insides.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I do with airport sandwiches, is I just eat the middle.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what I do too, because I try not to eat as much bread anymore. So I just eat like the cheese and the
sometimes I'm
veggies.
Like, I'm going to fall asleep if I eat this whole pretzel roll. I'll just eat the inside. Oh my God.
So, yeah. You eviscerate your sandwiches. Yeah, oh, it's the same way.
So they just unzip them in the belly and
pretty much. Yeah, they just go for the little soft part right there and they just like, you know. Man. Peck them open and just, it's sometimes it's like you can see it's like a little shirt that has been removed, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen some toads out there where they've pulled off the skin in such a way that it looks like they're just stuck with their shirt, like, up over their head, you know what I mean?
And my God.
And raccoons will do that a little bit. Sometimes, like, they'll bite off, like, the head or the legs and then spit them out, and then they'll just, like, you know, claw out or suck out the insides. And so we'll see these like half-eaten toads and stuff in the breeding season, especially because, you know, they're like, woo, smorgasbord is here.
Oh my God. It's like a shrimp buffet on a cruise ship.
Exactly.
Going for it.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay, now toads in pop culture, toads. Are there any toads in movies?
Oh, there's this whole like cane toad movie. Do you not know about this toad movie?
Oh
my God.
What is it?
It's like Attack of the Killer Toads or something, I think.
Oh my God.
If you look it up, you'll find it. But it's all about these cane toads, and it's hilarious. It's like such a great like classic B movie.
When I'm driving a car, I have no hesitation at running over them whatsoever.
I couldn't do without them. They're friends.
So she's talking, I think, about the very cheesy 1988 documentary Cane Toads, An Unnatural History, which I would very, very much like to just kick back and watch. These cane toads, man. Whew, I had no idea.
I think the biggest toad, cane toads are the biggest toads. And they can, like, I think the record is like 3 pounds or something like that.
That's an absolute unit of a toad.
Yeah, completely.
Would you ever keep one as a pet?
No, you know, everybody asked me that, and I never have.
So no pet toads for Priya. She prefers to see them hopping about and just enjoying the wild, having their orgies. One of which was recently captured as 10 cane toads at once were riding a python bareback in Australia. It looked like toads on the subway, home from work. But what was really happening was not commuting. The python just didn't have that release call chirp, if you know what I'm saying. But let's say you'd like to have more outdoor pals and you're not a python. How can you make your backyard a haven for toads?
So you turned over a pot in the garden and then did you carve out like a little toad door?
No, like you just, I think I actually like, I you, they have this stuff like at the nature centers, like these little guidance type things, but you can like bury a pot like halfway so that it's like becomes like a little tunnel. You know what I mean? Like, you can find these little like designs that are out there for these little toad homes, and they even make like actual like terracotta toad homes. Like, yeah.
So do yourself one favor today and look up the hashtag toad abodes. Oh, what a sight. What a sight for sad hearts. Just all kinds of pottery in the shape of mushroom houses, toads, roadhouses, little ceramic cottages for warty locals. Several times a day since seeing that, I just stare off. I think of all the toads and all the little houses all over the world taking a snooze. All right, let's pepper Perio with some questions. Are you ready for Patreon questions?
I think so.
But before I ask the questions that you submitted, patrons, a few quick messages about sponsors of the show who make it possible for us to make a donation each week to the cause of the ologist's choosing. So this week, Priya requested a donation to be made to the Amphibian and Reptile Conservancy to support inclusivity and diversity initiatives in amphibian and reptile conservation. So thank you, Priya. Also, if you like ologies, I think you would dig a podcast called Gastropod. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's about the science and history of food, and it's hosted by two lovely women. I just wanted to give them a shout. They go on these deep dives into the most curious topics. They visit the world's most advanced model gut at dinner time. They take you on a quest to figure out where microbes in sourdough come from. They figure out whether science can speed up the very magical process of aging whiskey. So in short, they're just obsessed with finding surprising science behind the food we eat every day. So you can find Gastropod and subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We just thought that you guys might like each other. Okay, sponsors. Oh, hi, it's me, the lady that checks a bunch of scholarly articles before she believes anything, Allie Ward. And I feel like we are similar in that we have a fair amount of skepticism and we like to dive deep and find out what the actual facts are. This is why when it comes to any kind of supplements, I enjoy Ritual, which is a female-founded B Corp, meaning that they're holding themselves accountable to not just the company, but also to the health of people and our planet. And they're clinically backed essential for women 18 plus multivitamin. It has these high-quality, traceable key ingredients in bioavailable forms that are clean. Only about 1% of supplement brands are USP verified, and Ritual is one of them. So I like being able to trust what I'm putting in my body. From an aesthetic standpoint, I'll also tell you that Ritual are beautiful little vitamins. They look like lava lamps and they taste like mint. So taking my Ritual is part of my, I guess, morning ritual. That's probably why they named it that and I didn't even think about it. Anyway, no more shady business. Ritual's essential for women 18 plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. So get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/ologies. You can start Ritual or add essential for women 18 plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/ologies for 25% off. Down the hatch.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
All right, your questions.
All right, Patreon questions. We got a ton.
Okay.
Done.
Really?
Yes.
That quickly?
Yes, because toads are the best. Oh my God. Okay, Jack Kelleher asks, life cycle of a toad, same as, similar to a frog? Or do they live longer or shorter than a frog, do you think?
Oh, well, I think it depends on the species. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some frogs live pretty long, some toads live pretty long, but you know, kind of on average in that sort of 5-ish, 7-ish, you know, 10-ish range mm-hmm. of years. But life cycle, yeah, fairly similar to a frog because, you know, they are frogs.
They are a frog.
Yeah. So they will like mostly be on land until it's breeding season, you know, or like be hibernating or whatever. And then they'll come to the ponds for that breeding season. They'll call, attract their mate. There are some toads that don't call, and they're, oh my God, I can't believe, there are some toads that will do that leg waving thing. You know, have you ever seen that? Oh my God, no. You have to, yeah. So they like in these like stream environments where it's so loud because of all this stream noise, they have evolved this, like they literally take their back leg and they just like go like this.
Priya, by the way, is laying on the hotel room bed doing a move that looks like part synchronized swimming, but also part shipwreck victim.
And I think in some of them, it's their front leg maybe too, but they anyway, or their arm.
Arm.
Yeah. And they just like, they're like, hey, I'm over here.
Oh my God. Like hailing a cab.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And then some, you know, chick toad is walking by and she's like, oh, okay, I see. All right.
I never knew that they did that.
Yeah. So there are, so anyway, I kind of digress there. But yeah, so generally speaking, they attract their mate. The mate, you know, the female comes over and they, you know, do the deed, and they have mostly external fertilization. There's a couple of exceptions. And then, you know, they lay their eggs, and mostly most of the species like lay a lot of eggs. Maybe you'll have a pretty decent amount of the eggs that'll hatch into tadpoles, but then like the tadpoles are food for all sorts of stuff.
Mm, delicious.
Oh my God. Have you ever seen like all the little toadlets popping out?
Are they really called toadlets?
Yes.
Oh God.
Toadlets. And they're so tiny, but they're just like, they're the cutest freaking things.
Frederick Roy wants to know, are there any studies on the possible medical applications of toad toxins?
Yes. I don't know the details of them, but I know there's some study on how it affects heart rates, and there's kind of like a steroidal element to it. And I think like in the cocktail, there's also like epinephrine and, you know, components and things like that. And so in animals and other things that have like experienced the toxin coming into contact with the toads, like they have these like extended periods of fast heart rate, or sometimes they have like a really slowed heart rate. And so I think they're studying like maybe there's a way to kind of like hone that in. There's some cool stuff going on with that.
P.S. I gave a quick Google just to make sure. And yep, sure thing. Plenty of research being done on toad toxins as anti-inflammatory agents, cardiac activity regulators, and anti-cancer agents. So the future is toads.
I'd love to see a prescription pad that just said toad.
Toad. Lick a toad. Two licks a day. Call me in the morning.
Heather Albrick says, what are toad communities like? I always see toads on the ground blazing their own trails, but then there's always another little guy not too far away. Do they reconvene at the end of the day in communal housing if they survived my lawnmower? Or do they battle it out for prime resources? Do they have friends, do you think?
They all come together for the breeding season, but they're not really like friendly, you know? They're like all competing during that time. And it is true that you do tend to see them together. And I think that is probably because they must like hang out together wherever they're, you know, overwintering or hanging out during the hot months or something.
Maybe they're in the same hibernaculum, which is my new favorite word ever. I'm like literally, I'm going to get a sign from the bedroom just called the hibernaculum.
Yes, it's the perfect name for the bedroom house.
Janet Mae Purrington wants to know, why does everyone think toads are so much grosser than frogs?
I don't know. That is such a good question. I think it's because of the warts. You know, people just think, oh, gross, it's all warty and they don't want to touch it. But you know, they're just so, like, if you just actually look at a toad face, you know, I mean, they're just so cute.
So they're expressive.
Like, so expressive. And, like, you kind of know where they stand. And I love that. They're just.
Toads do not suffer fools.
They do not suffer fools. Yeah.
Ira Gray wants to know, why do toads pee on me when I pick them up?
Oh, yeah.
you're like, yeah, that happens.
That happens all the time. I've got so much toad pee on me. It's just a defense mechanism, you know. They just don't. They were like, hey, maybe if I pee on you, you'll let me go.
I mean, who hasn't tried that in a meeting you wanted to leave?
But, you know, they just from sitting in a little puddle of water or something, like they can absorb up enough water. So it's, unless it's been really dry, like you're not really, it's, you don't have to worry too much about it. But if you're finding a toad like out in the middle of the woods and you pick it up and then it pees on you, then you might have kind of made its life a little bit harder for a little while. Give it a little cup full of water, let it just sit. Yeah, just pour a little bit of your water into a little
bowl and just like plop it in there, let it just reabsorb some more.
I love that they do that.
Yeah.
Sarah Terry wants to know, what do you think is the most poisonous one ever? Or rather,
that's a good question, because like there's, you know, the different toxin cocktails in mm-hmm. these bufo toxins. I think the cane toad is pretty toxic.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the most toxic, though. That's a good question. But I know that genus, that Rhinella genus, I think a lot of those have like pretty strong toxins. Mm-hmm. I think the Incilus maybe does too. And that's the genus of the Sonoran desert toad, the mm-hmm. one that is the hallucinogenic one.
Shoot, I don't think I've said this yet, but don't lick toads. Sarah Peck would like to know if you know any toad-related magic spells. I'm sure you know so many.
So in Macbeth, that same like double toil and trouble mm-hmm. poem, at the beginning of it, it talks about a toad and like put that in the pot first.
Toad that under cold stone for days and nights have 31.
They're basically trying to get the toad toxin into their Ooh. Little witch's brew. But also, I'm sure there are other toad poems. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to look up some toad witch spells. I'm yes. sure there's a ton. So I just did a little tippy-tapping. And according to some very helpful occult website, during medieval times, toads were seen as satanic creatures. And folks thought that witches could like magically cosplay as toads and then go poison people and just cause general toad-related mayhem. Although, now that I'm thinking about it, that Disney Frog Prince fairy tale of a woman kissing a frog and then turning it into some well-groomed and presumably fiscally stable man was maybe just a parable about a hallucination. Who knows? Moving on. Alpeca Paca wants to know, is there a humane way to get rid of cane toads or nah? I know.
Yeah. Probably the most humane way is if you could like just collect them all up and like, I don't know, freeze them or something, yeah. you know, like they like slowly turn the temperature down yeah. until they totally freeze. I don't know.
Just go to yeah. sleep. Just go to right? sleep.
Yeah. Oh, there are, you know, they actually, you know, I don't know. There's this thing that we used to use, when we were either getting ready to preserve critters, like for, pickle jars, and it's this stuff called MS-222, which I think is like regulated differently now, but it's kind of like a cocaine relative. Oh, and you just like you would sprinkle a little bit into like a jar of water and you'd put the toad or frog or whatever in, and like after a little while I'm just like And so if you put in more, then it'll feel that way just before it dies, and so then it's kind of a peaceful death. So yeah, but you probably couldn't do that very easily with, especially the cane toads, as big as they are, you'd have to get like big vats of that.
Just have to like, literally get like a
piles and piles of kilos of MS-222.
MS-222, you'd need a dealer. Laura dealer. Kinney wants to know, do toads travel far from their burrow or wherever, whatever a toad home is called, to forage or find a mate? How's their commute? What's a toad commute like?
You know, I think generally speaking, they're thought to be not they don't move that far. Ooh. But there was recently one of my colleagues in Utah was tracking these western toads and found that they moved like 5 or 6 miles, which, you know, a toad that yes! hops, like that's a long ass way, like between where their breeding site was and mm-hmm. where they, I think, were hanging out like in the winter, you know, because they'll go back to the same ponds where they emerged to go breed.
Aww.
And so when those habitats got fewer and farther between, like if they went back and their pond that they know was not there, they'll usually just go a little bit further until they find the next thing. And so probably like over time, these animals have developed the ability to go that far. And especially the ones in these montane habitats, you know, like there are mm-hmm. a lot fewer areas, you know, and a lot more ground to traverse between ponds. That was one that I remember was like pretty striking. Like I just learned that a couple of years ago that, those particular ones were able to do that. And I'm pretty sure that there's nothing in the literature that suggests that they go that far.
Do they have a homing device? How are they finding the same ponds?
Yeah. I think they believe it's a little bit both like astrological as well as chemosensory. And they're able to like, you know, smell their home ponds basically and go back. Yeah. Oh, that's true of a lot of amphibians in general. Like they tend to go back to the same. And actually a lot of reptiles as well. Like they'll kind of, they have sight fidelity.
I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yes.
Oh, Megan Janelle Leshen asks, in your opinion, what type of toad has the most beautiful mating call?
Oh man.
and says, some of the best sleep I've ever had took place in a little cabin in northern Wisconsin, and I specifically remember the toad songs being extremely calming.
I do really love the American toad call. It's just that long trill. It's so pretty. Have you heard it?
No.
Priya offered to do a toad trill, and I said, yes, please.
Oh my God.
But that one is a very soothing one. Like there's another relative, the Woodhouse's toad or the Fowler's toad. They sound like a woman or a child being murdered. Seriously. I have been out in the woods with other herpetologists and we're like, oh my God, there's a woman in trouble. And we're like, oh no, shit, that's just a Fowler's toad.
Oh my God. Just horror toads.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So those are the not soothing ones.
In all of this praise of toads, something's got to suck. They've got to be a dick to someone. What is wrong with a toad? There's got to be something you dislike about toads or about just in general toading. Toad tripping.
I mean, I think the worst quality of a toad is that they just... they try to be so tough. Like, just admit it. Like, you're just a soft little sweet thing. Like, just admit it. You know, this is what I'm... this is, again, like, where my romantic life kind of comes from. But, like, I know you're trying to be all tough and badass, but you're not. You're not all that tough and badass. Like, just be soft. Just be... it's okay that you're soft. I see your soft belly. It's all good.
All right, Mr. Tough Guy.
I don't know.
About the fact that you got sexually assaulted by a toad?
Oh, well, see, that's also, they're pretty aggressive.
I love that that's so forgivable. It's like, okay.
No, that's pretty bad. You're right. What else, though? I think...
when you're out toad hunting, toxins, but what about when you're out toad hunting? Are you out there in the middle of the night? Are you slopping around in boots?
Oh, yeah. In boots at night, headlamp, trying to, like... take the females' heads out of the water so that they don't die. Yeah.
When you're out frogging and toading at night and you're in hip waders and boots, do you bring along like a thermos of hot tea or anything? What are the creature comforts out there?
Well, you know, once it gets to be around toad season, like the nights are relatively warm, or at least they were out in Maryland. So it's kind of nice being out at night, you know, it's like those like sort of warmish nights. I mean, there were definitely some days, like one of my friends and I in grad school, we would just like, we wouldn't even wear boots. There was these like mucky ponds and we would just take off the waders because they would get stuck in the muck. And we would just go barefoot in like in shorts and just like, yeah, just kind of like become one with the toads. And they would be like all around you and other frogs and stuff too. And then you get to see like things swimming in the water like turtles.
And now, do we say favorite thing about a toad? So hard to pick. Do you have a favorite thing? The one thing about a toad that you love the most? Or about your job as a herper?
Oh, what is my favorite thing about a toad? I don't know. There's just, I just love their little bodies. Their little, that classic toad shape and just the little hop and the face, you know, just that little... classic toad face. You're gonna get all these comments afterwards like, oh my God, I can't believe she didn't say about this shitty thing that a toad does. Like,
no.
Oh my God. But speaking of that though, they do, like, so they pee, but you have to look up a toad pooping.
What's like, the deal?
They have the biggest shit. Like, they poop out these logs that are seriously like a third to a half of their body length. I'm telling you, it is the craziest thing. No. I've only seen it once.
Only one time?
Like, in the wild. But, like, videos, yeah. You have to Google that.
Oh, of course I looked this up.
No, I mean, I think they just eat a lot in one sitting. And then they, like, hop around. And then all of a sudden, like, the one that I saw, like, it started just doing this weird, like, crunching thing. You know, kind of like a dog gets ready to poop. And, like, it... And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, it's pooping. And then this thing like just kept fucking coming out. And it was this huge ass shit. Like, yeah, you have to see.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay. I guess if you take nothing else away from this episode, it's just that toads make turds. I, of course, I sought out video proof and was instantly furnished with some YouTube gems, such as one titled Toad Pooping a Giant Turd.
Look at the size of that load, man.
It's a big turd.
Oh my God, dude.
He's having trouble.
It's looking like he's laboring it out. It's almost like he's giving birth or something.
And yet another small film called Toad Taking a Massive Shit.
How can one toad poop so much?
It's an impossible seeming volume. In human scale, you would easily need a second toilet. Let's move on.
And you are my favorite poopologist. You're my favorite toad lover on the planet.
I'm the only one you know, aren't I?
That is true, but you're also my favorite.
So ask smart people stupid questions and follow Priya Nanjappa on Twitter at Totally Priya, TOADALLY Priya. And also you're going to want to follow her on Instagram at Wild Beautiful World because she mentioned she might get a toad tattoo on her toe and that then she would be tattooed. Follow her and love her. Okay, links to those accounts will be in the show notes and they'll be up at my website at allieward.com/ologies. I'm at ologies on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Allie Ward with one L on both. And if you're looking for less adult science content, I'm also on the Netflix show Brainchild, which is a science show. I host the CW science show, Did I Mention Invention? I'm also on Innovation Nation with Mo Rocca on CBS every Saturday morning. So thank you also to Aaron Talbert and Hannah Lippo for adminning the Ologies podcast Facebook group. Thank you, Shannon Feltis and Bonnie Dutch, for all of your super hard work making the Ologies merch site run. You can get merch and tag it Ologies merch so I can repost you on Instagram on Mondays if you like. Thank you to assistant editor Jarrett Sleeper of Mind Jam Media, who also helped with a bunch of research this week. And of course, to Stephen Ray Morris, host of the Kitty Podcast, the Purrcast, and the Dino Podcast, See Jurassic Right, for his can-do attitude. The theme song was written by Nick Thorburn of the band Islands. And if you stick around to the end of the episode, you know I tell you a secret. And this one is, I still feel bad for shit-talking that non-toad with the skin that erupts in babies, but I'm just telling you, I can watch mango worms all day long. I could watch hours of mango worms, but that got me. That got me, fam. Okay, toodaloo for now. Oh, also, guess what next week is? Mycology, kiddos. Mushrooms. Mark your calendars. Okay, bye-bye. Don't lick toads.
Pachydermatology. Homeology. Cryptozoology. Litology. Meteorology, olfactology, nephology, seriology, selenology.
Everybody loves Hypnotoad.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.